Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Belen, Reedland, and Chain Reactions.
I have a sort of international lineup today, to some extent, and I'd like to start talking about right now a film from Argentina called Belen. It was directed by Dolores Fonzi. Dolores Fonzi also co-wrote the screenplay, and she also plays one of the leading roles in the film. So we have a real triple threat cineast here. And I have to say, she's done a very fine job with this movie. It's about a very interesting and important topic, and it's a very, very well-done movie. It starts with a real bang, and it's a very uncomfortable bang. It is not a happy beginning. We have a young woman who has just been rushed to the hospital with horrible pains in her stomach. Nobody knows what's wrong. They're trying to treat her. They're trying to find out what's going on. At one point, she staggers down a corridor to get to the restroom, which she desperately needs to get to at that moment. And when she comes back into the room where she's being treated, the police are there. And the police literally handcuff her to the table on which she's been being examined, and she is arrested, and things are now going to get increasingly horrifying for a while for this young woman. So what is going on here? Well, here's what's going on, is that she apparently didn't know she was pregnant, but might have been, and she is now being accused not only of having just gone through an illegal abortion, but of actually having given birth to the child and then killed it. That is what she is being charged with. Infanticide, one of the most horrible, obviously, crimes that there can be. That's just the beginning of the movie. Then things go on. She is now under arrest. She is in custody. Her case is very well known. And all kinds of very unhappy things are going on in her life. Among other things, the lawyer who is representing her doesn't seem to be very interested in the case or seem to be doing even a halfway decent job of it. Now, this is very possibly because of prejudice against her for the horrific nature of this crime, which even her own lawyer believes she might have committed. Then another lawyer comes in, a lawyer who is much more interested in doing pro bono work, who is much more interested in championing unpopular causes, and who really believes that there might be something going on in this case that's desperately unfair against the young woman who has been arrested and who is charged in this case. The young woman, her case becomes very, very well known. There is a whole lot of stuff in the media about it, very much of it against her because, again, of a national prejudice against abortion and young women who might have had an abortion or who might have done something much worse than that, which is to actually commit infanticide. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the media about this. And so in order to preserve her anonymity, at least a little bit, she's given a new name. And the new name that she is given, her real name, is Camila Paate, but she's given the new name Belen, which interestingly means Bethlehem and is a name with a lot of Christian connotations. She's not all that happy about having this new name. She'd rather just people know who she is. But then again, she realizes that she's got to preserve some amount of anonymity here, if only to protect her family, because now her family, her mother and so forth, are getting threats. People are against them because they think that, well, she has this child murderer in her family. That's what the movie's about. So, as I already said, the movie opens with this very uncomfortable and, in fact, kind of horrific bang with this young woman being arrested. Then it settles into something more like a procedural, a legal drama, and to some extent a courtroom drama, as we see different arguments playing out. And above all, perhaps, we see this new lawyer, who is played, by the way, by Dolores Fonzi, who directed and co-wrote the film. We see her uncovering more and more information about this case, which starts to indicate that maybe it isn't just an unfortunate case of somebody being wrongly accused of something that she might have done, but is rather maybe more a case of something being built up against her by the system, which would love to prosecute a young woman and get publicity for the anti-abortion cause and for, in fact, the anti-feminist cause, because this is very much a feminist movie. Now, it's based on a real case, and I won't tell you how it all comes out, but it's very, very harrowing along the way at various points. It has been pointed out that we don't really get all that much about the character of the young woman who spends a good part of the movie in jail, in prison. She gets visits, and we see her a bit, and she goes to the courtroom. But we don't really find out a whole lot about what she's going through, except by observing it from the outside. She sort of sinks into the background and becomes not a minor character, but a secondary character in the film, which is really dominated by her lawyer and certain others who are involved in her case. In any case, Belen is based on a nonfiction book about a real case that really happened, and it was a case that played a big part in Argentina legalizing abortion and drastically liberalizing its laws just 5 years ago from what I'm talking right now. So it was a case with enormous legal consequences, social consequences, cultural consequences in Argentina, and this movie is a very vivid and engrossing retelling of that case. It's a docudrama. It's not a documentary, but it's a very powerful film, and I really recommend it. Belen, very, very good Argentine film. Now I'd like to talk about a movie from the Netherlands. It is a movie which is called in Dutch Rietland, known in English as Reedland, and it is very much about a land where there are a lot of reeds. Now, our main character is a guy named Johan, and I got to say right at the get-go here, he is played by a non-professional actor, a guy named Gerrit Knabe. He is not an actor. He has not had actor training. He was found because he looked right for the part and because he is a real reed cutter in his own life. And the main character of this film, Johan, is very much a real reed cutter. And we see him at his work at the beginning of the movie. There he is. He goes out and he cuts reeds by hand, cuts down these reeds, gathers them, burns up the throwaway parts, puts the rest together. They're used for things like thatching roofs and so forth and so on. And we also begin to find out that all is not pleasant in this land of reeds where he works and labors over the reeds every day, because a lot of people are changing their ways. They're bringing in mechanized equipment. They can't really afford this equipment, maybe. And above all, what Johan is concerned about, it damages the land. So in the short run, it promises great gains, but in the long run, who knows what it'll do to the land where they live and work and destroy the soil and so forth and so on. So he's not happy about this. He's trying very much to adhere to the traditional ways of cutting reeds and earning your living as a manual laborer in this way. But that's not exactly what the movie's about, because one day when he's out there working, he discovers the raped and murdered body of a teenage girl. And this is what turns everything around, because then the movie turns into something of a murder mystery. Who did this? In the community where the movie takes place, there's a lot of suspicion that maybe it was the people who live over there in that other part of the region, where the people have a nickname for them and don't like them much and are suspicious of them. Maybe they're the ones who did this. Maybe they're the ones who perpetrated this horrible crime. In any case, Johan is involved in it because he's the one who found the body. He pretty soon stops being a suspect, but he himself really wants to know what might have happened here. This is a horrible thing, and it really changes his whole impression of the land where he lives. And also, by the way, he himself is taking care of his own granddaughter, who is young. She's not even a teenager yet. We never really find out just why he's looking after her. He has a daughter who's out there somewhere. But anyway, he himself is involved with a young woman in a very paternal and caring way. And now this horrible murder and rape that has taken place right nearby him, it certainly has all the more reverberation because he himself is looking after a young girl. Now, again, Reedland is something of a murder mystery, yes. But it is not a murder mystery that's especially interested in solving the case or in giving us all the facts about the case, because Johan, our main character, does not have all the facts about the case. It's a movie which is full of mystery in more than one sense. We have the mystery about who committed this horrible crime, and we also have the mystery of just what is going to happen to this land, just how does Johan relate to all of this, and also the fact that maybe, very possibly, definitive answers to these questions will never be found. Perhaps it will never be solved. Who killed this girl? There's suspects. There's some sort of wild young people in the area and so forth and so on. But maybe this will never be solved, really. And so the movie is not a film that wants to give us the answers as we gradually see the solving of a case. It's a movie which is more about the sense of mystery and the idea of this old guy. He's not that old, but he's pretty old. wanting to cling to tradition when maybe it isn't possible. And that's another reason why this horrible crime has shaken him up so much, because it signifies that ways in which things might be changing, not only in his life, but in this whole area where he lives and works and knows people, and maybe things are declining in ways that will never be reversed. This movie was written and directed by Sven Bresser. It's a beautifully done movie. Don't go to see it if you're interested in a movie that gives you definitive answers. But this film is as much about mystery, about atmosphere, about mood, and about those reads as about anything else. I had a good time watching it. It's a very engrossing film. And finally, a very, very different kind of movie I would like to talk about, which is called Chain Reaction. And now we have a movie which is a genuine documentary, and it's about the movie The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which, of course, is a pretty old movie. It came out a long time ago, and it's still very much in the public consciousness. People are still interested. People still talk about it. Came out in 1974, so this is sort of almost an anniversary year for it. But this is a film, Chain Reactions, about reactions to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that movie from way back in the middle of the 1970s. Now we have people talking about it, and not just any people. When I first heard about this movie, a film about reactions to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I thought, well, it's going to be people coming out of a movie theater and saying, oh, it really scared me, or oh, I didn't like it. But it's not like that at all. It only has five people, each of whom responds to the film, discusses it, thinks about it, talks about it in a fairly extended segment. One of them is Patton Oswalt, well-known comic actor and comedian. Another one is Takashi Miike, a very well-known Japanese director of J-horror, Japanese horror movies. Another one is Zandra Heller Nicholas, a film worker from Australia. Another is Karen Kusama, a filmmaker who's made a number of horrific films herself. And then Stephen King. And I think everybody knows who he is. He's very much involved and been involved with horror movies. And, of course, is probably the best-selling horror author of all time. So we have each one of these five people responding to, thinking about, discussing that old movie, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, in various ways. And what really struck me about this movie is how thoughtful all these people are. They really have things to say. They are interested in analysis of this film. They're not just, oh, it's really scary, or oh, it's really yucky. They're about, here's things that it suggested to me. Here's things it made me think about. Over the course of this movie, these different people relate the Texas Chainsaw Massacre to a whole range of different films. My gosh, Gone with the Wind enters into this at one point, or maybe at more than one point. The experimental filmmaker, Stan Brakhage, whose movies were not made to be shown in movie theaters, shown in museums and galleries and places like that. A couple of people refer to his work when they're talking about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. All kinds of other ways of relating this movie to other movies. Sometimes horror movies, Skinamarink gets mentioned, and sometimes movies that aren't horror movies at all, but that have resonances in one way or another with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The first person who speaks in this movie, the first person with an extended segment, is Patton Oswalt. And he just really impressed me. He's really thought about this, and he has some really interesting ideas. And he's not just interested in his superficial reactions to how the movie struck him at the time. He's seen it many times. He's thought about it a whole lot. And he has real things to say about it. And to some extent, that goes for all of the other people in the film, too. I have to say, Stephen King, who is probably, in fact, certainly, the biggest expert on sort of the horror scene, because he's not only been involved in film, but again, he's such an incredibly best-selling author, and he's been doing horror for pretty much his whole career. He doesn't have the most interesting things to say, in my opinion. Takashi Miike, who discusses how this movie, in a way, enabled him to start making J-horror, to start making Japanese horror films, which have had a huge international impact. He has some interesting things to say. And then the two women involved have a lot of things to say, too. It's a very, very interesting mix of people, all of whom have really thought about this film and think it's important and have important things to say about it. Now, my own feelings about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre has changed over the years. I didn't see it when it first came out. I looked at that title and I said, well, this is going to be crummy horror of the rottenest kind. But no. It turned out to be an important film, and eventually I caught up with it. I've seen it a number of times since. I don't think it's a great movie, but something Steven Spielberg once told me is that he hired the director of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Tobe Hooper, to direct his own film, Poltergeist, because he thought the Texas Chainsaw Massacre was, as Steven put it, a really good movie. And this is Steven Spielberg, who is most famous for movies aimed at family audiences and kids and stuff like that. He really loved the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So this movie doesn't have that in it, but it has all kinds of surprising and interesting and thoughtful reactions to the movie from people, again, who have really thought about it and have interesting things to say about it. It was written and directed by Alexandra O'Philippe. It's a very well-put-together documentary, a well-chosen group of people to talk about this somewhat legendary film. My own opinion has gone up and down of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre over the years, but it's an interesting movie, and if you are skeptical of that statement, you'll find out how interesting it is if you look at the documentary chain reactions. So that is my somewhat international story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Belen, Reedland, and Chain Reactions.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.